morning. Let's all stand together. We'll sing hymn number 450. 450. Number 314. 314.
See you. Let's read together the 51st Psalm. 51st Psalm. This is David's prayer after he sinned with Bathsheba. Nathan told him that he was the man. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity. Cleanse me from my sin, for I acknowledge my transgression, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee, thee only, have I sinned, and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest, and be clear when thou judgest. He said, ever how you deal with me, that'll be fine. You're God. I'm the one that's done the sinning. That's why I want mercy. So God, when you justify yourself, speak, you'll be clear when you judge me. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part shalt thou make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out all mine iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Uphold me with thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God, thou God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness. O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise, for thou desirest not sacrifice. If that's what you did, I'd give it, and you delight not in burnt offerings. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. O God, thou wilt not despise. Do good in thy pleasure, good pleasure unto Zion. Build up the walls of Jerusalem. Then shalt thou be pleased with the sacrifices of righteousness, with righteousness, with burnt offerings and whole burnt offerings. Then shall they offer bullocks upon thine altar. Oh, our Father, our God, you're the God, you're the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And that makes you our God and our Father. And the Lord Jesus Christ to be our Redeemer, our Savior, the one who loved us, gave himself for us, the one who loved us with an everlasting love, and with the cords of a man drew us unto himself. O Lord, blessed be your holy name. As David said, put it in our lips and open our lips that we may sing praises and give praise unto thee with the voices of our mouth, with the meditations of our heart, with the depths of our soul. May we look unto you and cry unto you and trust you. As he said, dear, the God of our salvation. There's no salvation but what you give. There's no salvation but what you uphold. There's no salvation but part what you don't keep. And so, Lord God, make us to know that, to believe that with all our heart and soul. And Lord, make us to look unto you, trust you, bow to you, commit ourselves to you. And, oh, Lord, unite our hearts to fear thy blessed name. Lord, we've gathered here to worship. We've gathered here to magnify your holy name. And we've gathered here, and we hopefully, by your blessed grace and the power of the Holy Spirit, someone would be converted unto you. Someone would, in their heart of hearts, be spoken to by the Holy Spirit and be brought to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And, oh, Lord, please bring glory to yourself. Please be merciful and gracious to those that are sick, weak, and frail in body. And, Lord, bless the gospel as it goes out today. We ask it for Christ's sake. Amen and amen.
Number 29 in our course books. 29 in our course books. Thank you. Stand together and sing the hymn of the day in the bulletin.
I want you to look with me back to Mark chapter 1, book of Mark chapter 1, where we're preaching from. First was the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Last week was about the voice and the messenger. Today I want to talk about repentance. Repentance. Look here in verse 4 and 5. 1 John 4 and 5. And John did baptize in the wilderness and preached the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. And there went out unto him all the land of Judea, and they of Jerusalem, and were all baptized of him in the river of Jordan, confessing their sins. Biblical repentance. What is it? What is repentance actually? What is it? And there are so many, many truths in God's blessed book, the Bible, in the Scriptures, and in the Gospel. So many in the Gospel. And you know what? Men make works out of them. God will give a man a gift and he'll make a work out of it. Men will make a work out of faith. He makes a work out of faith. Preachers tell him he's got to exercise it. God won't save you if you don't believe this, if you don't believe that, and don't believe something else. They make a work out of faith. And then they certainly do make a work out of repentance. You know, that they say, repent of your sins. You know, that's not in the Bible. Repent of your sins is not in the Scriptures. Repentance is in the Scriptures. But repenting of your sins, that's not in the Bible. Not in the Scriptures at all. You know, preachers preach, turn from your sins. Be sorry for your sins. Don't return to your sins. My goodness, I certainly not like to return to mine, that's for sure. But I got so many to turn from, I don't know which way to turn. You know, when you're nothing but that, what do you turn from? And then they say, well, if you're sorry enough, sorry over your sins, how sorry is enough? How sorry is enough? If you turn from your sins, have sufficient sorrow for them, don't return to them, then God will forgive you of your sins. There's not one ounce of gospel in that. Not no gospel at all in that. Not a drop. Not a drop. Not a drop. John was the last Old Testament prophet. And he is a subject of prophecy. You think the Old Testament prophets had a different message than we have or John had or anybody else had? John 5:39 says this, our Lord told him, search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. But they, the Scriptures, are they which testify of who? Me. Peter says to him, when he is preaching to Cornelius, to him, to Christ, all the prophets give witness. And let me ask you this, you think that John's baptism was different than the baptism we have? No. You know, Christ hadn't died. Christ hadn't even come. But these folks were being baptized, making a confession of their sin, making a confession that they had a changed mind, making a confession that they were looking for Christ, looking to Christ and what he would accomplish by his death on that cross. And you know, in the Scriptures tells us in Ephesians 4:5, there's only one baptism. Only one. Only one baptism. Let me tell you what baptism's not. Baptism's not sprinkling. It's not sprinkling. It's not taking a baby and going to some priest or some rabbi or some preacher and sprinkling water on his head and say he's in the covenant and he's going to be saved because he's in the covenant. And I tell you, it's not sprinkling people. And I do also know this, it's just not pouring. It's not pouring. And you know, here's the thing about it. Baptists are bad, and religious people are bad. If you don't baptize infants, if the Lutherans and Catholics and them, if they don't baptize, Presbyterians, they baptize infants. But here's the thing about it. The difference between baptizing an infant, which is not scriptural, there's not a verse of scripture in the Bible that would do anything about that. But Baptists come along and they come up to the front and they lay their baby on an altar
and have everybody come up and pray over it and dedicate it to the Lord. But you know what believers do? If they're going to have a child, you know what they say? Lord, please, please do something for my child before he's ever brought into this world. And I tell you what, baptism is not sprinkling, pouring, baptizing an infant. None of these things are baptism. And John the Baptist come preaching. Look what he said in verse 4 here. John did baptize in the wilderness and preach. He preached. He preached the baptism of remission and the baptism of repentance. He was actually preaching that Christ would come and do for them what he couldn't do. But still yet, they come up there in repentance. Let me tell you something. Repentance is made up of two words. Meta neoa. Now that's a mouthful. I don't know exactly what it means, but I did look it up and it means baptism. And you know what baptism means? It means having a change of mind, or repentance is. Repentance made up of two words, metaneo. But anyway, repentance in meteo means this, a change of mind. A change of mind. A different way of looking at things. And I tell you what, and we won't have a change of mind concerning God, concerning the scriptures, concerning the gospel, concerning anything, unless God changes our mind. Our minds have to be changed. You know, when I talked about faith being a work and repentance being a work, you know why I know that those people use them for that? Because I myself did it when I first started. I was as much of a works preacher as anybody that's ever walked this earth. And what changed my mind? What caused me to change? What happened to me that made me become a grace believer? What happened to me that made me believe in the free and sovereign grace of God? What changed me and changed my mind to make me believe in the gospel? That Jesus Christ is the only Savior. God did. And when God changes your mind, that's repentance. This idea of being so sorry over your sins and have to go over here and pray and pray and pray and pray and come back and hope that you'll pray enough and God will forgive you enough, and then you got to go back and the first time you sin, start all over again. Who wants that? I don't want that, do you? Oh, God changes our minds. Oh, my. And I tell you something else, repentance, like faith, is the gift of God. Huh? The gift of God. I want you to look in Acts chapter 5 with me. Keep Mark, John, Acts chapter 5. Look over here in Acts chapter 5. Look what it says here in verse 31. Talking about Christ being raised up, had been hanged on a tree, and God raised him up again. But in Acts 5:31, Christ, hath God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior. Listen to this. To give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sin. Acts 11:18, you don't have to turn there, but let me read it to you. And when they heard these things, they held their peace and glorified God, saying, then hath God also to the Gentiles granted repentance unto life. Both of them's gifts. If God don't give you faith, you ain't going to believe. If God don't give you repentance, you ain't going to have a change of mind. That's just the way it is. And for remission of sin, their mind is changed toward their sin. Ain't that what it said here in Mark 5 and verse 5? And they were baptized of him in the river of Jordan. What was they doing? Confessing their sin. Oh, that's what David was doing in Psalm 51. He was repenting of his sin. Repenting of his sins. Now let me tell you something. And the goodness of God about repentance. The goodness of God, the goodness of God leads, takes a man and gets him and leads him to what? Repentance. Leads him to it. And so let's talk about biblical repentance, scriptural repentance, true repentance, biblical repentance, a change of mind that we're talking about, which repentance is. It's like everything else, it has to begin with a new birth. You got to be born again before you can do anything. You got to have a new gift. You have to have a new life. You have to have a, and you know, in this business of repentance has to do with the inward man. Don't have nothing to do with this flesh. It has to do with the heart. It has to do with the inward man. It has to do with God taking a man and changing his nature, giving him a new nature, making him to be partakers of the divine nature. And you know our Lord Jesus Christ, and it's a thing of the heart. Most folks think that repentance is quit doing something with your hand. No, it's a thing of the heart. You can quit all the things you want to do with your hand, but that's got nothing to do with it. God has to give you a new heart. And I do know this, it's like the Pharisees, you know. God cleanses us up on the inside. But he told the Pharisees, he says, you're like an old cup and an old platter. You wash an outside of it, but within you're like an old rotten thing. You're all corrupt. And let me say a few things about this. I know that it's a heart. Everything has to start with a heart. And repentance, a change of mind, and God's got to give us a new heart. The scriptures tells us, God said it this. He said, my son, what do you want? Give me your heart. As a man thinketh in his heart. That's what he is. What do you think of yourself? What do you think about God? What do you think about sin? What do you think about having a relationship with God? What do you think about works? What do you think about righteousness? This is the things I'm talking about. Huh? Oh my. And I tell you what, he changes your mind. And out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. A man's relationship, because of this new birth and because of this change of mind that God gives a man when he gives him a new heart, a man's relationship can always be known by what he does. Why he does say, what we say with your hand, but it can always be known if you could look in his heart. If you look in his heart. You know, I've people seen me do some awful things, say some awful things, act some awful ways. But I'm thankful that God looks on the heart. Looks on the heart. Oh my. It's like David. He was a man after God's own heart. And this fella, Nabal, wouldn't feed him, wouldn't give his men no food. He said, I'm going to go down there and I'm going to kill that Nabal. I'm going to kill him. David had a murder in it. He said, I'm going to go down there and kill him. And his wife Abigail ran out there and said, oh, don't do that. He's a fool. Don't waste your time on that. And oh my. But see, he had it in his mind to do that. But if God looked at his heart and said, this man's got a heart that's like mine. You reckon if you'd have seen David going down there to take a sword and go and cut that fellow's head off, you reckon you said, boy, there ain't no way in the world David's ever don't know the Lord. See, that's what I'm talking about. This thing's a condition of the heart. And a man's relationship with God is not always seen in his actions and how he acts sometimes. Oh my, it's like, here's Elijah, this great prophet. He stands and he's against 850 false prophets. And you all know the story. Dig a big old ditch here. Dig a big old deep ditch. Fill it up with all kinds of water. But he said, first of all, whoever's God, let him answer with fire. And you know the story, I tell you, God consumed all of his sacrifice and those fellows just jumped and whipped and cut themselves and everything. And then the next day, Jezebel said this. She said, that man's as good as dead. You know what he done? He stood against all those false prophets, prayed a 63-word prayer, Jezebel said, I'm going to kill him. You know what he done? He run like a coward. He run and hid. He got scared teetotally to death. Standing all these false prophets, seeing the fire of God fall, and then a woman says she's going to kill him. And he slinks off, scared to death. Oh, you say, how many times have you, because of your actions, you said, oh my goodness, how could I be saved to do that? Ain't you thankful God looks at the heart? Huh? Oh my. And I tell you what, here's this strong man, and oh, a man's relationship with God can't always be clear in the manners and the way he acts. But his motive is always for the glory of God. It's like when Simon Peter, he denied the Lord three times. Denied the Lord three times. Oh my. And he said that with his mouth. But in his heart, he still loved Christ. He still trusted Christ. He still needed Christ. In his heart. Oh my. That's what I'm talking about. This is what our mind changes about what real repentance is. Our mind changes about what a person says or how he acts or what he does or the manner he does something in. We don't look at those things because we know that God, he don't look at those. He looks at Christ. If God dealt with us as we act sometimes, as we say sometimes, as we deal with other people sometimes, we wouldn't have a Chinaman's chance. We'd be like a snowball in a blast furnace. I know that's kind of crass, but it's the truth. Ain't that right? And this is true of all of God's children in the Bible. Abraham, you look at Abraham, he done some terrible things. Lot, Noah, Jacob. And this shows us that repentance is an inward work. Job said, the root of the matter's in me. Now let me deal with a few things about what repentance is really, really not. Now I tell you what, this is what most folks have in religion. There's an outward form of repentance brought about by a lot of different things. And it's more impressive to the natural eye than this heart work that God does for a man. Huh? See, the natural eye, he can't see the heart. All they see is the external things, the religious things, the things that's often impressed. Look over here with me in Luke chapter 16. Look in Luke 16. I'm going the wrong way. You know, that's what happens with so many people. You know, the flesh is easy to impress. Easy by false spirituality. Oh, I tell you, so easy to impress. Oh, my. Folks come in and they are easy to cry and easy to be moved to tears and easy to be moved to emotional state. But look what our Lord here said about these fellows in Luke 16:15. They was making fun. They was deriding Christ. And he said unto them, ye are they which justify yourselves before men. You're interested in how men think of you, how men view you. But God knows your hearts. For that which is highly esteemed among men is abomination in the sight of God. Oh my. Flesh is easy to impress. Very easy to impress. Those Pharisees would stand and pray, and everybody say, boy, them fellas, man, they're dedicated. They're really something. And then there's that outward form of religion. Oh my, that's very, very impressive. that talks about conversion and repentance bought by different things. People are afraid of being punished. Being punished. You know, not this is one thing where, you know how many folks have had got jailhouse religion in their lifetime? You go up here to the county jail right now. Go up to the county jail and you go in there and ask them how many folks have accepted Jesus since they've been in there. How many of them start reading their Bible since they've been in there? But boy, boy, I mean, you know, they like that stuff. You know, Milton Howard preaches at a federal prison down in Louisiana, and I've been in there several times, and that place, you know, they'll pack that place out. I mean, they'll just be waiting in line to get there. You know why? They ain't got nowhere else to go. And that's the way it is with religion. Ain't, you know, got to do something. I got to do something. I got to dress myself up. I got to change the way I do things. Oh, my. Cain had that kind of religion. He said, my punishment's greater than I can bear. Esau had that kind of repentance. He sought repentance, and he couldn't find it. And he cried after it. He shed tears about it. And he had a repentance, but all God said he couldn't find it. Why? Because he sold everything that was worth anything so he could have a meal to fill his belly with. Oh, my. And I tell you what, Simon Magus, we heard about him a couple weeks ago, said, pray for me. He got in his billfold and got his pocket out and said, here's some silver, here's some gold. Let me have this gift that you fellas got. Simon Peter said, you're going to perish. You're going to perish. You can't buy what God's got with silver and gold. But oh my, great trials and great sicknesses and troubles and distress will cause people to have a kind of repentance. Pharaoh, you know, Pharaoh, it says nine times he repented and said, I'll let Israel go. But he didn't until God went through there that night and killed the firstborn of every creature. Nine times he said, I repent. I repent. Nine times he did. Oh, my. And how many times did Saul repent over trying to kill David? How many times did he repent? And then Saul still tried to kill him. And I'll tell you, here's the thing that causes an outward form of religion. Very, very impressive. It impresses the eye. An emotional response to strong preachers and preaching. You know what it says about Herod? He really liked to listen to John. The scripture said, he said, he heard John gladly. Gladly. But you know what he ended up doing about John? Cutting his head off. Felix. They brought Paul in to preach before him. Paul the apostle brought him out of jail and brought him up there. And there they sat in their robes and governor and the king and all them sitting around. And Paul preached to them of righteousness. And all Felix heard him and he trembled at Paul's preaching. And then he turned around and spoke against him. And said, this fella, he said, listen, as he listened to him, he said, your much learning has made you crazy. He said, I'm not crazy, I'm not mad. He started preaching Christ to him. And that fellow said, you must be crazy because I can't believe what you're saying. You going to talk to a governor that way, a king that way? Don't you know who I am? Yeah, I know who you are. God does too. And oh my, and then there's a temporary repentance. Oh my, that folks has. But oh my. Oh, thank God, the goodness of God. The goodness of God leads us to repentance. Oh, my. And I'm going to tell you, somebody didn't repent. That rich man in hell, did you ever find him saying, I'm sorry? Huh? No. I'll tell you something I've been thinking about. And I told my wife, my sweet Shirley, the other day this. I said, you know, I think about people dying. And I think about them dying immediately. Just a heart attack, gone. Getting shot in the heart, gone. In an automobile wreck, gone. They don't have no time to repent. They don't have time to pray. They don't have time to do nothing. And if they died just like that in a snap of a finger, they're gone. And there's no repentance. Huh? Oh, how many people have been set? Dexter died sitting at your table. There's a fella years ago. He worked on my mowers and chainsaws and things, and he was having a big 4th of July picnic in his backyard, and they was all eating and all that. And he was sitting there eating with them. He fell over on the table, gone, just that quick. So whatever happens in this life, God's got to lead you to it. God's got to lead you to it. Oh, my. And I tell you, it's a gift. It's a gift. And I'm going to show you something. Look in Revelations with me. Look in Revelations with me. Revelation, let me see what it is. 16. Revelation 16. I want you to see something over here. Revelation 16 and verse 8. You know what? You know, David, when he took Bathsheba, you know, God had to lead him to repentance. God had to break his heart. You know that? He was feeling good about what, you know, he wasn't worried about what he'd done until Nathan came along and preached to him. That's why he said, "Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Oh, Lord, cleanse me." And look what he said here in verse 8 and 9. Revelation 16. And the fourth angel poured out his vial upon the sun, and power was given unto him to scorch men with fire. And men were scorched with great heat and blasphemed the name of God, which hath power over these plagues, and they repented not to give him the glory. Said, I'm not going to give him no glory. I'm not going to give him no glory. Not going to do it. All right, let me go back here to this change of mind. What is repentance? Oh, this thing of repentance, this thing that changes our mind. You know, when God gives us a change of mind, and you know what real repentance is, biblical repentance does? It acknowledges, it acknowledges God's sovereign right to do what he will with his own. Now, you've had a change of mind about that. Huh? Oh, my. God's got a sovereign right to do with his will. Is it not right for me to do what I will with mine own, is what he told him in Matthew 20? Huh? Oh, Job's, you know, Samuel went and told Job, Eli, he said, "God's going to kill both of your sons." You know what Eli said? "Oh, that ain't fair. Oh, there ain't nothing right about that. God's going to kill both my kids at the same time." You know what he said? "It's the Lord. Let him do what seemeth good." Huh? Oh, my. Job said, "The Lord gave, and the Lord took it away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." That's what a change of mind God gave us. That's the repentance he led us to. Huh? Oh, Nebuchadnezzar. He went out and said, "Look at all this great Babylon that I've created. Look at this thing." You know what God did to him? Put him out. 7 years he was out there in the middle of nowhere. He stayed out there so long his hair grew so long it looked like feathers hanging down. His fingernails grew so long they looked like claws. And the scripture said his reason returned unto him, and he said, "This one thing I know, that the inhabitants of the earth, including me, are reputed as nothing." And he does according to his will in the armies of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and nobody can stay his hand. That's what he taught a heathen king. Huh? Oh, what a change of mind that is. I thank God he changed my mind. Oh, I thank God he did. And I tell you what, here's another thing about true biblical repentance, about a change of mind. We own the holiness of God and own our own sinfulness and corruption. God's holy, but I'm sinful. God's righteous, but I'm corrupt. We're like Isaiah. When we saw the glory of the Lord, you know what the first thing we said? Oh, Lord, woe is me. What am I going to do in light of your holiness? What am I going to do? Job said, I heard about you with the hearing of the ear, but now my eye sees you. What do you feel like, Job? Oh, I'm whore myself. I'm whore myself. And why, I tell you this, if thou shouldest mark iniquities, who would be able to stand? And once you ever see your sinfulness and corruption, that's one thing you never get over. That's what makes us need Christ. That's what makes us need the gospel. And I tell you, here's another thing. When God gives us biblical repentance and changes our mind, we justify God in his judgment against sin. We justify God, listen to me, in his judgment against sin. Let me ask you, just like David said, Lord, it's against thee. You killed Joab, but it's against you. You took Bathsheba, but it's against you. It's against you that I've sinned. Let me ask you four questions. Must God punish sin? Must he? Is God just to punish sin? Would God be just to punish my sin? Here's the fourth question. How then can God be just, and justify me? How can he be just, punish my sins, and justly so, and justify me? Bless his holy name. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. He bore my sins on a cross. As a fellow the other day, just yesterday as a matter of fact, Friday, he had a t-shirt on that said, I bow the knee to no man except that man who died on a cross. And I told him how I liked that. Told him how much I liked that. I ain't going to bow to knee to nobody but Jesus Christ. That man died on the cross. I know why he died on the cross. I know that's the only way God could be just to justify me, because my sin must be punished. And how in the world can my sin be punished if it's not punished in me? It has to be punished in somebody else. And God punished Christ in my place, in the place of everyone for whom he died. And God now turns around and we embrace Christ, bow to Christ, and come to Christ. Then God turns around and says, you're clear. You got no sin. I justify you in my own sight. Oh my. Here's another thing about true biblical repentance and change of mind. It owns and confesses that it lies in God's sovereign will and pleasure to either leave me in sin or save by grace. To leave a man in his sin or save him by his grace. That's God's prerogative. That's God's prerogative. Don't you own that? Don't you believe that? It's like those lepers came down off the mountainside. And they came to the Lord Jesus Christ. Three of them did. They three come at one time. And you know what the first thing they said? Lord, if thou wilt, if it's your will, you can make me clean. You know what he said? I will. I will. Bless his name, I will. Oh, I thank God that when I went to him, I said, Lord, will you? I will. Oh, it's like that Canaanite woman. She brought her daughter, said, oh, Lord, my daughter's such a bad shape. She's in such bad shape. Lord, please help me. Please have mercy on me. It's not fit to take the children's bread and cast it to the dog. Oh, Lord, that's so. But, oh, Lord, even the dogs get the crumbs from the master's table. And he said, oh, your faith. Oh, great is thy faith. Go. Oh, my. Real, genuine biblical repentance receives humbly and genuinely the grace of God in Christ, not claiming any merit of our own. We own nothing. We have nothing. We know we're nothing and can do nothing. And we don't bring anything. We don't bring it. You know that that old song, the old rugged cross, and I lay my trophies down. I remember first time Henry Mahan, when he was preaching, he said, somebody started singing that song. He said, you ain't got to stop that. You ain't got no trophies. What trophies are you going to lay down? We ain't got no trophies. Anything we got, God gave it to us. That's what conversion is. That's what repentance is. Trophies? What trophies? We're his trophies. He did it all. What in the world are we going to, what are we going to bring? Oh, my. Can you bow to that? Can you bow to that? Humbly, genuinely, believe the grace of God in Christ, claiming no merit of your own. Men go to heaven. Men are saved because of God's grace, not their goodness. Men get to go to heaven, not because they're good, but because Christ is good. They didn't go to heaven because of their works, because Christ did a work. Huh? But people always say, well, what about my granny? What about my uncle? What about my brother? What about them? If we believe the salvation's of the Lord, we'll leave them in God's hand. Huh? True repentance bows down to salvation by free, sovereign grace by Christ, in Christ, and through Christ. Ain't that right? Now let me tell you something, and I'm going to quit. Get done here in a minute. True repentance, when you have biblical repentance, and God leads you to repentance, and he gives you repentance, you never, ever stop repenting. You never stop. Once you start, you don't ever stop. How many times a day do you reckon you repent? How many times a day do you say, oh, Lord, forgive me. Oh, Lord, you get to feeling bad about yourself and your corruption. I told dear Shirley the other night, coming up here on Wednesday night, and I've told y'all this before. I get ready to come preach, and I said, I feel so sorry for them people have to get up and listen to me, have to listen to me. Lord, have mercy on them. That's repenting of my, you know, we just repent of the feelings we have, the emotions we have, the thoughts we have, the words we speak. It's just a constant thing. It's like believing. Once you believe, you always believe. And once you repent, you never, ever stop. Huh? Oh, my. Repentance and faith is a condition and state of the mind and the heart, and they're constant. Constant. Oh, my. What it does is we agree with God in absolutely everything he says. Don't you? Even if I don't know it, if it's in there, if God says it, I agree with it. Oh, it's a change. It's a change of mind. But oh, what a change of mind it is. And it's a turning, but oh, what a turning it is. Man can produce religion, but only God can produce life. Man can impress other men and produce affectation, but only God can. can produce the root and life of Christ in the heart and put a love of God in him, the love of God in him, and make him own allegiance to the Lord Jesus Christ the rest of his life. Amen. Oh, blessed Savior, great and glorious, blessed God in heaven and earth. This earth and everything in it belongs to you. And Lord, we acknowledge in our heart of hearts that whatsoever you do is absolutely right. Absolutely right. How you deal with any individual is right, perfect, just. And so, Lord, we kiss your blessed providence. We kiss the blessed glory of God and the free grace of God in Christ. Oh, we love it. We need it. We got to have it. Thank you for meeting with us today. Bless the gospel. Bless these words to the hearts and minds of your people. We ask it for Christ's sake. Amen. Amen. Oh, how merciful. How merciful, blessed Lord, how merciful thou art to me. Oh, how merciful, how merciful, blessed Lord, how merciful thou art to me. See tonight, 6 o'clock, God willing, we're going to take the Lord's Supper this evening. And most preachers would tell you, go home and examine yourself, see if you can. But I'm not going to tell you that.